it's worth talking for a minute on record that Anish thinks that when you're in your own home, you're obviously not under any obligation to do anything. You can do whatever you want. But I don't get that. I don't get it. You're saying at home, no underwear kind of makes sense to you. And I don't, yeah. I've never done that.
Why does home, does wearing underwear at your house make sense to you?
Yeah. Wearing underwear all the time makes sense to me.
That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I don't get it.
I like to preserve my clothing. I don't want to. Plus, saying, I don't know.
He's saying he's a disgusting human being.
I'm filthy. Exactly.
Do you wear your work clothes until you go to bed?
No.
So you change. I'm wearing mine right now,
but I'm in a hotel and I just got home like 20 minutes ago.
So. Yeah, and you wear like 7-year-old clothes to work. So you wear the same stuff my first second grader wears.
That's right. I'm wearing right now. You backpack. Can't see it. The graphic below is it's a Tonka truck.
Let's kill the cameras
for another camera.
Kill cameras. It's underwear time.
Everybody clip your pants off.
Everybody, turn your lights down and
get ready for your
Well, I don't know, Anish, do they slip into their underwear or do they slip their underwear off? I guess it's pretty
Flip your underwear off and put on some sweatpants.
What if you just like wearing boxers around the
right.
house?
What if someone acceptable? Just wants to wear their underwear?
Loose boxers are fine. Very, very loose boxers are fine.
Like a nice pair of cotton, like the soft t-shirt type cotton boxers.
Okay, acceptable.
So. Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. And you didn't dream that. You didn't go back in time. It's not Daryl Hazel time. Purdue more than doubled, I believe, Rutgers' total output offense. And you know what? Purdue didn't have more yards then. I don't know if you guys saw this stat that I put up.
Yeah, I saw
it. Rutgers
that.
Had 523 punting yards.
Whee! Amazing.
And Purdue out first downed them, if that's a thing, 25-8. And the last little thing I'll say is that Purdue opens this week as a 6.5-point favorite and barely got past 6.5 points for the entire game on Saturday against.
That's really just an indictment on Nebraska as much as anything, isn't it?
It's definitely a commentary on Nebraska, but holy moly, was that bad football? It's the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. I'm Jay. We've got Boiler Dowd live from a brothel or a seedy hotel room somewhere in the upper Midwest. Anish from his underwearless seedy home.
That's right.
The well-known East Coast city of Pittsburgh.
That's right. Yeah, the Northeast. I'm sorry, Northeast.
Northeast.
East Coast. Sorry, Northeast. Sorry. Very Northeast. Specific.
You guys, were you debating this?
No, Pittsburgh was awarded something as like the most prestigious university in the Northeast.
It's like, you know how Purdue does like the number 4 public university in the country or whatever.
Yeah, I just saw that. So, awesome.
Which it is in the country. That's
Pitt fair. Pitt did. They're the number 1. They're the number 1 public university in the Northeast. And I quote tweeted that night. I whispered, Pitt's not in the Northeast.
Yeah, I replied and said, "In the Northeast, what?"
I've never heard anybody refer to Pittsburgh as.
They've Northeast. Done it before. I've heard Anish bring this up. This isn't the first time they've.
No, yeah, no. Pittsburgh is a Midwest city. Pittsburgh is, in fact, the end of the Midwest. Pittsburgh is the last known point of the Midwest.
That's a good barrier for the Midwest. It's basically Pittsburgh to like Eastern
What's
Colorado
the Western?
Or Western okay, Nebraska.
That's what I was gonna say. Is it? Kansas City,
Nebraska,
the West,
the plains. There's a plains that divide, maybe halfway through Nebraska.
Right.
I would say like that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think more than halfway. I don't think any part of Nebraska is not the Midwest, right?
I don't consider Nebraska Western at all. That's Midwest.
Right. Right. Agreed. Well, now we have that settled.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going with that.
I'd rather. Do we really have to talk about football? I'd rather talk about geography. I said that. I declared that we were a pottery blog. Oh, now.
That was a good decision.
My wife apologized to Anish because he came all the way out. She said, "You came all this way to see a Purdue loss." And so, first of all, we said, "Well, first of all, he's that's if you don't know that any effort you put forth in order to see Purdue could very well end in disappointment, then you have not.
You haven't paid attention.
No, you're a bad Purdue fan.
They know. Man, that was. And the thing was, so I said,
the drive door to door from Pittsburgh to New Jersey. I'm not going to say, you
know, from my door. Yeah, to my from my door to no. Exactly. From my door to Justin's house, it is let's say 5 hours, almost like an even 5 hours.
Okay, that's not horrible. I mean, no. I can tell you, Jay has made the awful trip from, and he drove from Jersey to Indianapolis.
I've done that many
to go times. To eventually while, get to, up to West Lafayette.
It's been a
and
while.
Purdue just got their asses kicked, and it was horrible. I think one of those last trips, you're like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
I've been back from Jersey for a while.
Driving from Jersey to Indianapolis?
Yeah, he used to do it all. He used to do it at least once a year.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Actually, that's a commitment.
And then what I did for a while, when Tim and I had season tickets, I would drive to Cleveland,
pick him up, right,
and then from there to Indy, and then on Sunday we'd drive back to Cleveland, and I'd get up Monday and drive back to Jersey. Yeah.
I'm too young for this. Like, that sounds like semi-reasonable for a good game to me. And I know objectively that's a stupid thing to do. That's just a really dumb thing to do.
We did it every year. It was so stupid.
I did. Well, so my brother's in Cincinnati. And during the Warriors stretch where they won 27 games in a row or whatever at the beginning of the year, we were like, we have to see this. I mean, like, we have to go and watch. So they played the Pacers on a Tuesday.
Oh, I remember this.
And I drove back. They played them Tuesday at 7. I left at 11. I left Pittsburgh at 11. Got there at like 4 or 5. Got to Indianapolis at 4 or 5. Me and my brother had dinner. We went to the game. We came back. I slept for like 3 hours. I woke up at 3 and I went back to Pittsburgh, got there at like 8 or 9. 11 hours of driving to go see the Warriors. It was a good game. It was a good
game. I don't
remember
you regretting it either.
No, I mean, like, I saw the 27, you know, I saw the 73-win Warriors, you know.
Yeah, that worked out really great for everybody involved. The Warriors, okay. You put the good mojo all over them.
I'm not sure that so yeah, driving that much to see him is one thing, but doing it to see Purdue, almost any iteration of Purdue, it does seem stupid. But Anish did it, and it was there were some definite positives. Purdue threw a pretty nice tailgate.
So did you go to like an alumni association tailgate? How was it?
Yeah. They had a tent up. They had the special there. They had food that was included. They had a cash bar. They had Mike Kavinsky. They had Mike Berghoff. It was.
I had a breakfast that consisted of eggs and sausage, and macaroni and cheese and 2 hot dogs.
Did you have any dessert?
I did have the brownie. You're right. I had a brownie too.
You got his money's worth.
And two Miller Lights. That's right.
That is a hearty.
That's a good breakfast.
But they had the special. It was like 75 degrees and sunny and beautiful. And that's about the end of it. Well, no, you had a buffalo chicken meatball sandwich. That wasn't probably the worst part. That was okay.
Any
other highlights? Meatball. Wait, timeout. Buffalo.
See,
chicken
that's
meatball.
What I said.
That's
when,
what he
when,
said.
When Jay Money brought that to my attention, I thought it was both buffalo chicken and a meatball.
And meatballs. Yeah, I'm confused by this.
Think of shredded buffalo chicken. Think of shredded buffalo chicken like you'd make before you put it into a dip, and then roll it up into balls somehow, maybe with some breading, and then cook them, and then put them on a sandwich. Pretty good.
It was very solid.
Is that something? Is that a thing in New Jersey?
No, New Jersey delicacy. No, I
right. I didn't know that.
I hadn't seen that before.
Teach me the ways of your people.
But like, let me.
Yes, I want.
Let me tell you.
I want to subscribe.
The mother flipping train whistle that I've you all have heard me complain about this before. Let me tell you how much worse it is when Purdue's losing to Rutgers.
It was bad. Also, the cannon really threw me off. I wasn't expecting
it's
cannon.
It's scary.
It freaks me out.
Giant cannon.
So they don't have a train whistle, do they?
Yes.
Yeah. It's what I just said.
We've got a cannon, a train whistle, a red plastic knight, a bunch of revolutionary
They have
soldiers.
That knight that looks like he's Sparty's missing brother.
Yes, he's really looking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's they can't figure anything out there, and they claim to be the birthplace of college football, which let's not forget that.
How did they get that?
Supposedly the first college football game ever was played in New Jersey. Supposedly,
okay,
that's the claim. Like 17 or eight, early 18. I don't even know when it was. I guess I could look it up, but I'm too irritated right
1652
now.
1652 is what we're going here.
1652.
I thought it was the 1400s.
They used a pig's stomach and they threw it around, and that was
pig's stomach filled with buffalo chicken meatballs. The winner gets to keep the pig's stomach full of the delicious.
They actually eat that night. Meatballs. Oh man, it was as bad.
That's how the tradition was born.
It was as bad as it looked and sounded. And I had someone text me who couldn't get see the game, was out in Arizona, so he didn't have it because it was, I think, regional on BTN. And he said, is it as awful as it is watching this on StatCast? And I said, yes. No, it's worse.
It's worse. It would have been much better watching it on StatCast. What I felt really bad, so this is how I knew I felt really bad, and that as much as we complain about our status as Purdue fans, maybe we don't have it as bad as possible. Because Rutgers fans, very nice. They're very lovely hosts.
They were
amazing hosts. They're very nice.
You say they were lovely? Yes. Did you say they were lovely?
They're lovely. Or? They're lovely, beautiful hosts.
Not too many Jersey people are lovely. Nice. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, exactly. That for to be like pre-selected as Jersey people, they're all. I think all of the nice Jersey people exist as Rutgers fans. That's what I'm gonna say.
Purdue fans that are in Jersey that I've met. They're okay.
Wow. Yeah, me too. They're mediocre.
That's it.
like multiple of them came up, shook our hands, like on the way out, on the way back to our car.
Thanks for coming. Purdue,
and they thanks for coming and all that. And they said, great game. It was a great game, at least. At least you saw a great game. And I looked
what
at
the hell did you see? Like,
was this football? Is this what we were talking? This great game? It would. They thought that was a very well played game of the footy, and in fact, it was awful. It was so bad. On both ends of the ball, it was just really bad. Like, both teams were awful.
What I would suggest here, because I'm going to tell you my experience about the game now, because you guys may have had sunny weather and all that, but I was in a car driving back from South Carolina, and I had an 11-year-old giving me play-by-play, and every now and again I get to see the screen on my phone. But generally, it went something like this. I'd say, where are they on the field? And he'd say, they're on the 37. And I'd say, okay. And he said, he threw another freaking interception. That's my boy.
That's right. I feel so sorry.
Seriously, are they? He said, what are they doing? I said, clearly, Jay and Anish have ruined this for everyone.
Jay, yes, that's exactly what happened. Jay Money Jr., I feel sorry. I was trying to convince him to go to Alabama, and his first response was, when I go to Alabama, they'll probably suck. I was like, oh.
Yeah, he's already there. He's already where he needs to be.
Said that?
Yes.
Yes, that was his response. And I was like, and Jay Money Jr. is what, like 9, 10?
7.
7. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. 7. I don't know how. They're all miniature.
I like them.
To me.
I know. You have no idea. You know, if they're 3 or 12. It's great.
We played Go Fish. We gambled. I gambled away most of my savings with him on a period.
Yeah. He's a shark. 7-year-old car. He's a bad dude.
But more than him, I feel so sorry for a little boiler down. Because he is such a diehard already.
Oh, he's so deep in it.
He's done. He's done. So his emotional state is over for the rest of his life. He's gone.
Yeah. And it like wrecks him. He's ruined for, he's just like his dad said. He's just ruined for a team too afterwards. Just horrible.
Oh, and he's going to meet a lovely Boilermaker lady, and they are going to have sad, sad Boilermaker
children in the gym. The horrible cycle continues. And my grandkids will be sad. And man, the great grandkids will be sad.
It's bad. It's so bad.
Don't be smart. Don't be smart. Good members of society.
Oh yeah, your son will be smarter than you. Yes, your son's already smarter.
I can't.
Than you.
Yeah, I can't help him with anything with homework already.
It did, and so we went back, and I tweet this out every time I go to the Money household. But Jay Money in his basement has a setup where he has three TVs going. And the two side TVs, you should go look at the TVs because I didn't believe this when I was there. So I bet you don't believe this when you're just looking. The side TVs are like 46 inches.
Right.
And it's absurd because they look tiny. They look like my computer screen.
Because the center is like 190 inches.
That's exactly how big it is. We measured
one of those legends. It just grows. It grows over time. Yeah. Soon it'll be like out of an
hologram television.
Yeah, right. He's got his own IMAX theater. Yeah.
That's right. I actually
doesn't sound like a bad
idea. I took the littlest member of the Money family, and I used him to measure the TV, and he was 14 of Junior Juniors. 14 Jay Money Juniors was the size of the TV.
That's a standard. That's like a cubit, I believe.
Yeah.
Very similar.
So we went back to the basement, and we were enjoying our brown liquors, so with a dabbling in the clear liquors.
Always good to mix those.
Exactly. We were watching college football. We were watching the Yankees, even though they lost. It was what it was. They were there a year early. It was fine. It should have been a great day of sports. And you're right. I forgot what that felt like. The rest of the day was just like not as.
Yeah, it was
just
like
took it out.
Yeah, the rest of the day you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try to watch this and enjoy this, but it's just not. It ruins your Saturday.
I was Jay Money and I were together, which is why it felt okay. But it was just not as not as enjoyable.
So I don't know if you guys, I think each of us separately has now talked about this, that the quarterback situation has officially been sort of muddled and screwed up. And I think the argument that you made all along where I was that you thought he was going to do this game, and it looked very organized, but he was going to do it throughout the non-conference and then pick a guy. And I don't know. I almost think maybe he did. I think it was David Blau's job. And I said to, I think each of you, basically it was his job until he turned the ball over horribly against Minnesota. Like, he made decisions they weren't just like, oh, you know, the guy made a great play. They were terrible. Remember, he was trying to throw balls like through defenders. So you had to sit him down at least for a series, right, with those kind of decisions, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
But then Purdue comes out and comes back and wins the game with Sindelar in there. So now you're like, well, Sindelar sort of won the job. So that's how, to me, I've been looking at this, and I think that's where that right there is like the pivot point there, was if he hadn't played so ugly and or Purdue had not come back the way they did, then I don't know that we're in this situation. I think Blau's still a starter if one of those doesn't happen.
Let me be devil's advocate here. There are a lot of points. I mean, one thing Anish said, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, is how Purdue really doesn't have a quarterback. And I didn't really buy that. And I guess I kind of thought, well, you know, you're not going to look very good versus Michigan, Wisconsin, because they were in the mix of this whole crap, you know, that they're in right now. And I think everybody, like we've all said, everybody accepted that. It was just, these teams are, they're just better. Their defenses are bigger and stronger, and the systems are good, and they're well coached and all that stuff. But there seems, you know, we all remember David Blau's lousy interceptions. I mean, he threw them at key times. He threw them in the red zone. He threw another one midfield, I think. Maybe it was on the 40. Lousy, horrible. And then he took those sacks versus Wisconsin that were important. But Sindelar threw some pretty horrible interceptions in this stretch too, where he'd throw him off his back foot. He didn't even look like he was thinking. If we saw Blau doing we'd say, same old David Blau, right? Oh, yeah. So this is the problem now, is you've got, I think what you've got is a culmination of years of really horrible coaching. And it's just kind of – they can't get it out of them or something. You know, I still believe both these guys are pretty solid quarterbacks. I might be in the minority among a lot of Purdue fans based on what we're hearing on Twitter. I still believe both of them are pretty solid, and it just takes time to get them on the right page and get them into the system. But neither one can seem to consistently play well. The the thing that I continue to look at is that Sindelar's ball, for one reason or another, is less catchable than Blau's ball by this receiving core. That's the way I read it. That's the way I remember it. That's the way the percentages play out, too. Mm-hmm. Blau has completed a higher percentage of his pass. He's had passes. He's had more touchdowns and fewer interceptions, but he takes a lot of sacks. That's not debatable, which is kind of interesting because I will continue to say that he is more mobile than Sindelar, opposed to what some people say.
Hey, all I was saying was that Sindelar has a bad arm, and I was yelled at by the members of this podcast, and I think I have been proven to be right in the long term. See, kids, this is how you just say something, stick by it until it's there.
You're going to do it again with a bad arm. We're going to go there again.
He's got an inaccurate arm. He's a really inaccurate quarterback, and it's harder to work with an inaccurate quarterback than it is to work with a quarterback that sometimes makes bad decisions, but on the other end, tries to make things happen. Tries to make something out of nothing. That last drive against Rutgers he could march him down the field.
Yeah,
he was getting it going with his legs. It was working. Sindelar doesn't do that. Sindelar just doesn't. He doesn't make things happen. He's good in a conservative scheme when it's just short passes, but I don't think Sindelar's completed, on purpose, a really long pass. So it's just like
Blau's ball, deep ball is definitely superior.
Well, we kept saying during this game what it also reminded me of. It actually, I made a joke at the beginning about the Hazel error. It really wasn't Hazel-esque in that Purdue did not look inept. It looked like they just constantly couldn't close because they had almost 500 yards of offense. That's important to remember. This team got up and down the field. They just could not. They had three times they were stuffed on short fourth downs. They could not get the ball in the end zone when they got it close. It was a very weird play calling at in the red zone and on fourth.
How about this question?
Very
weird. This is something right when what you're talking about. Okay, this is I'm not jumping off. I'm moving forward on this point. Is anybody talking about the decision not to kick the field goal from 42 in the first half? Didn't they have a field goal? They could have
kicked. So we were talking about it, and we were like, you obviously go for it because we didn't think that the offense would be anemic the entire game. You're like, you're not concerned with Rutgers defense. Just go for it, and you'll be marching down the field later this game. And turns out we were wrong. But I think I would make the same decision.
Well, I would too. Their field goal kicking has not been reliable. And if you can't get, again, it goes back to a lot of, it happens in football a lot where you say, if you can't get fourth and one when you're on their side of the field, then you don't deserve to win. I mean, and they did that three times. They got stuffed on fourth and short. Three times Rutgers stuffed them. And that's amazing. They wound up 1-for-4. They got one late.
Well, that's what you just said, I think.
But they didn't want
it. I said this to my son when they didn't get the two-point conversion. I said, they didn't deserve to win this game. They really didn't deserve be that close, honestly. I mean, they played like dog crap, and they deserve the loss. And I don't know where else we can walk away from this and say, they shoulda. I didn't hear one Purdue fan say they shoulda won that game. Did you? Have you heard anybody come up with that sentiment?
No, not based on their performance. Absolutely not. They should have won the game the way that frankly they should have won the game the way we all predicted, like 42-4. If you weren't going to win it that way, then you probably didn't deserve to win because it meant you just did not get the job done. And what I was going to say before about, I joked about Hazel, it really wasn't Hazel-esque. It was more like, a little bit more like the Hope era where they did move the ball, but could never, there'd be things you'd see, blatantly see as a fan and say, why have they not stretched the field vertically at all? Right. The one or two times they tried it, it was picked off. And it did work against some other. You worked against Ohio. I mean, Herdman, guys like that.
Hold on a second. Let's hit this. There are two things that I think you're hitting on. It doesn't remind me of Hope or Hazel. It reminds me of Coletto a bit, I'll tell you. And you got to go pretty deep in your memory bank because one thing Coletto seemed to do is never play to the team's strength. So right. I can remember one specific game. I think it was versus Notre Dame. Drew had first and goal, and they had Mike Olstad on the team, and they didn't run the ball.
They threw the ball four times.
Right. How about this? Yes. You've got one quarterback that's admittedly better at throwing the deep ball in Blau, and you have Sindelar throw the deep ball.
Right?
Right. Am I wrong? I think it was.
His deep balls were just so bad. They were like punts. It was insane.
They were like blind throw. Yeah. One was quite literally a blind throw into horrendous. I mean, there was just never a guy open, which is very worrisome because it makes you think he's going to throw the ball he's supposed to throw it to no matter what. He's not going to read anything. And that's very
worrisome. That's kind of one of his biggest problems too. He's inaccurate, but you're right. He goes through progressions, but doesn't make reads, if that makes sense. Like he will decide which one to throw to. He's like, I'm throwing to my second progression here, and boom, he's going to throw it.
Was he throwing at Terry Wright, by the way, on that? Because Wright played. I know he had a couple plays.
Yeah, but it was one of the outside guys, so very possibly.
I'm not actually sure on those two. I feel like one was Mahungu.
One was Mahungu. Yeah. You're right because it was coming towards us. Yeah. So it was the B. Yeah. It was the B.
Richie Worship had a fantastic game, and his number wasn't called on any of short yard situations either.
Nope.
Right? And I don't understand where they.
Why don't you hand the ball to him or Markell Jones? Markell Jones is going to get you a yard when you need it. And
you did this before when we were talking about this, Jay Money, but that fourth down when they called the timeout and it says fourth and one, and they called that they were lined up with Markell Jones in the backfield, and it was they had 1 yard to go. They were on their 45 because they weren't going to punt it, and the Rutgers didn't like what they saw. Chris Ash called the timeout, and then Purdue came out. And what formation did they come out of?
They come out with four receivers and nobody in the backfield.
Nobody. Zero people in the backfield on a fourth and one with a quarterback you can't trust. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was when, we kind of turned to each other and were like, are we sure that the coach made the trip?
Yeah.
Are we sure this offensive genius is in New Jersey?
It felt like they weren't there.
He could be out recruiting, guys. Let's actually.
He probably said, this game, you should not need me for this game. This is Rutgers.
Nick Holt might have been the head coach for the game. They could have brought an animatronic version of Jeff Brohm, and Brohm could have been out recruiting.
But how amazing is it that and I think we've touched on this before, the defense has not once been the problem this year.
No, not once.
Brohm came in. When Brohm came in, it was like, I think all of us
56 to 53.
Yeah, and we're going to lose. 60 to 50 because that's what Western Kentucky did. That kind of thing. When they lost, it's because they couldn't stop people. And
it's just there are no receivers and no the line was okay, actually. I mean, they're bad.
The line was fine.
But
no,
the line was fine at Rutgers.
Because Rutgers is bad. It didn't matter. The line, they moved the ball. They moved the ball. As bad as they looked, they almost had 500 yards of offense. Think about that. 500 yards, 470, 25 first downs. You force the team to punt a dozen times. That usually means
blowout. I mean, and the last three times, we were like, this is the last time Purdue's not getting the ball back. They just second, third, fourth chances. We just kept looking at each other and saying, how many times is the defense going to bail this offense out? And you would have told me a year ago that was the sentence. You would have told me 3 months ago that was the sentence we were going to say after the Rutgers. Yeah, I mean, like it's really frustrating. There are no.
I gotta tell you guys something that's gonna be really frustrating is next season when a lot of these seniors who are really setting the pace and setting the tone for this defense are gone, and the offenses start to hit its stride. We'll be like, damn it, if we could have that defense in this offense.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's gonna happen though. This defense is. I don't even know how to say it, but this defense is being wasted because this is a championship type of defense, I believe.
Yeah.
It's a Big Ten. I don't know about championship, but you can win the Big Ten West with this championship or with this defense.
Yes.
It almost sounds like a championship, like winning a division. Would that be something?
Yeah, hey, man. Listen, we'll take it. Are you kidding me?
Put up a statue.
I'll take it.
A monument.
After the last 4 years, are you kidding me? Yeah. But it was just like that. The play calling was just so bizarre. Like the entire game, the play calling was bizarre. We didn't look at the stat sheet until like 10 or 11, because we were just too.
Haven't. How about that? I still haven't.
So you know how many? So then this will blow your mind. Okay, so Richie Worship had a great game. Objectively, how many runs did he have? How many rushing attempts did Richie Worship
have? Give me his total yardage.
So Richie Worship had 51 yards rushing. How many rushes did he have?
How about...
It's not 20.
Let's go with 11.
Five. Richie Worship touched the ball five times. Five times out of the backfield. He had one reception for 10 yards.
Yes.
So there was that. So he touched the ball six times.
So get a pen and paper out. What was his per touch average?
So he had one catch, one reception for 10 yards, and he had five carries for 51 yards.
Okay, hold on. I went to Purdue. I'm going to go with, is that 100? Is that what you said?
That's 100 per rush.
100? 100?
Exactly. 100, yes, 100 or a million. It's a million.
Million yards.
No, you moved the decimal point.
You got to carry the – yeah. It is 10 yards per touch Richie Worship had. How far do you have to get in football – before you get a new first down? I am new to this game. Can you educate me?
I've watched football before. Hold on.
Okay, pen and paper. Let's
is this Canadian or American football?
Yeah, it's American. We're talking about American yards.
He was tired. Six touches is a lot.
How many American yards do you have to get? 10. Right. That's it. 10. Every time Richie Worship touched
meters
the ball.
Or yards?
He was a first down per touch. So let's get him off the field.
It was bizarre.
So give him Markell and have him run it right into the lineman, right?
I think he drove a Boilermaker special over Brom's foot. I think that's what.
Markell had 13 rushes for 68 yards. Knox had 13 rushes for 84 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them above 5 yards a carry.
They ran the ball fine.
But receptions was just, I mean, nobody, this is, you know what, this is what happens. This is the kind of offense that you see when even Cole Herdman is dropping passes.
Well,
let me give you guys a theory on this, and the theory may or may not be correct. So this is me kind of just, I'm stabbing in the dark alone.
Being normal. Okay. It's Monday night. This is what you do.
Right. This is what I do. So, okay. Do you guys remember a key play versus Wisconsin that involved Herdman? Do you remember a key play versus Wisconsin that involved Herdman?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. He came across left to right. He was hit by a Wisconsin linebacker, I believe, helmet to helmet. The player was ejected, and Herdman looked like he was a little dingy.
Right.
Right?
You're right.
He kept playing. He was not pulled out of the game. My thought is that maybe he was concussed, and you see a little bit of that. I'll give you a comparison point, right? Because Herdman is really sure-handed. I would say he's maybe the most sure-handed Purdue receiver this year.
Definitely.
When he's targeted, he catches the ball, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the Indianapolis Colts. The reason I thought of it is I was watching the Colts play a week ago, and Doyle had a concussion the week before, and he could not catch anything, and he fumbled the ball for the Colts. It's like just not quite right, if that makes sense. I'm sure he would say, yeah, I'm fine, right? But not quite right. Doesn't look like the same player. And it kind of felt that way to me about Herdman. This is a theory. That's it. There's no – like I've said before in other podcasts, I mean, I am a shoe designer, which is just like a doctor.
It is. Very so. You're a shoe doctor, you know. You're basically Dr. J.
Yes.
You're Dr. Scholes. Dr. Scholes.
So I guess I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make some sort of rationality behind this irrational game. I mean, it doesn't matter how I just like you guys. You're like, what the hell?
So
nothing worked other than they weren't.
Jay Money said this best, I think, like when we were debriefing. Which was that we knew this is why we were cuddling.
Were you at Anisha's house?
It was great. It's right here.
The rules are the rules. He said he doesn't watch football with his
underwear.
I said, well, fine.
I don't do it. Okay. I don't do it. It was only like a 60-40 or 50-50 proposition when you asked us how many, you know, whether Purdue would get to 6 wins, right?
Yeah.
The reason we said that is because it was, you know, we knew eventually, like, these were the same players as last year, right?
Right.
So eventually one of these games in the this month of play, one of these games is going to be a letdown, maybe two. And if that happened, then it, you know, it becomes harder. The math becomes harder to get to 6, especially with Iowa almost assuredly being a loss, right?
Right.
And it's looking
why
like
do we think that, by the way? I mean, other than they have magic at Iowa, man, they're not that great of a team. And no, I said that a long time ago.
They've got magic at Iowa, and I don't think Indiana, I don't think Indiana's a win anymore. Like,
no, I don't either.
That's what I want to pivot to is what does this do to your, this gosh, does this change?
Yeah,
everything.
Well, they're like a 5.5 win team right now in my mind. Does that make any sense? Exactly. Like, I'm right between 5 and 6.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's exactly where they are. And so what we were saying was we knew the letdown was going to happen, but we just didn't see it happening against Rutgers. We just didn't see it. But we knew it was going to happen because this is a not that talented team that was coached extremely poorly for 4 years. And you don't just get rid of all those habits. And so we knew it was going to happen, but we just didn't expect it against Rutgers.
Right.
Then why the hell is this defense so good? I mean,
I know. It's just, one, the ball, Holt must be a magic worker. But I don't know.
I think Brom's a magic worker, honestly, for what we've seen so far. I had another football guy, you know, we were talking about what's the deal. He said, well, here's the deal is you can game plan for Purdue now. You know exactly where what the tendencies are, who are the guys you need to eliminate, and if you have good positional players, you can just go man on those guys, put your best guys on those guys, and then you can scheme against the rest of them because any guys that are going to create space.
On that subject, let me ask this, and I think you touched on this a little bit. Maybe it was just in a note to me, but like I remember when we were on the phone. But when Purdue, like Nish was rattling off those rushing statistics, and nothing passing was work. Nobody could catch, and then because it wasn't all. Let's be clear, it wasn't all on Sindelar, and it wasn't all on Blau. Right. Like there were a lot of drops, like more drops than I think you've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
And so couple that with a couple bad decisions, and you're screwed. Why not put a package in there for Sparks and say running the ball, particularly against Rutgers, has been maybe that's a falling down on the coaches, like to not say, look, we have studied the film, we know we're going to be able to run on these guys, so let's have something in there for Sparks. And if it's not working, like let's talk about for a second Missouri. I don't know about you guys, but I remain still kind of shocked at how Purdue just completely demolished them, and they did it without doing anything special. They just ran a basic offense and it worked. And to Brom's credit, he thought, "Well, I don't need to pull anything out of the bag. I don't need any tricks. We're killing them." So, like, plan for those things. Put in a package that says, "Well, if this isn't working, we do this. This team isn't good. They don't stop the run, so let's just run."
Yeah, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that Sparks package in how many games now? 3.
Well, this would have been the perfect game for it. You don't have to pass.
I know. It's not unprecedented. This is the whole thing that's killing me right now. It's got me all on my, on my heels because I was like, man, like you guys were genius coaches. They see things that we don't see. They prepare better than anybody. And then you're like, man, what were they preparing for this team?
Right.
It's not like you're looking past to a big matchup that was, a national TV game on, versus an arch rival next week.
It might have been that they got up for the road game against Wisconsin.
I was very worried about that. I was very worried that it's hard to get up second week in a row for a far lesser opponent than Wisconsin.
You were saying that on the way to the arena, and then we were like, we're not going to lose to Rutgers. You said that on the drive to the arena, and then we just dismissed it because we like tempting the sports gods is what happens. That's exactly what we like to do. That was
But I will also say, like we talked about on last week's podcast, this was the most – yeah, of course, as a Purdue fan, you worry about the worst thing happening. But it was the most confident I've been in a long time. I said those things, then I said, but. I said, they're not going to lose to Rutgers. I said, if they play poorly, they will not lose to Rutgers. And again, I will once again say, the stats bear that out. If you look at those stats, it looks like they blew them out. And that's the thing.
Right.
A sloppy blowout, right? Like, you can blow a team out and throw 2 picks. But the inability to score points was – jarring, and I feel like now we've beaten that fully to death. But
It's just like, I don't know. So right now, ESPN's matchup predictor has Purdue with an 86.9% chance of beating Illinois, just straight up.
What do you guys think of that? That I
don't. I think, opened the podcast with this. The spread was six and a half
to open. So what do you guys, if I say right now, percentage Purdue wins, would you put it anywhere near that?
Illinois?
For Nebraska.
Nebraska.
I'm sorry, Nisha, that's what you were talking about.
This is Illinois, and I still think it's like 75, but like, man, like.
For Nebraska? You think it's 75% they beat
Nebraska? For Illinois.
We're crossing the wires. But see, I'm worried about that now, because here's the thing. This is why.
Every game should be a worry right now.
This is why I bet on the Giants when I was in Vegas last weekend, because I looked at it and I said, they can't keep losing forever. And as bad as those Hazel teams were, they couldn't lose forever and they had to beat someone. The same goes for Lovie Smith in Illinois. They're not going to go winless in the Big Ten, I don't think. And
why? I mean, I know you say that they can't lose forever, but some teams are just really awful, and we've been a part of that as fans. When a team is just lousy,
that 2-10 Hazel team rolled up 55 on Nebraska, and a Nebraska team that went to a bowl. You've got evidence that it happens. I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just saying to you, I'm very concerned now, because if Purdue,
well, the funny thing, this really interesting thing. There, it may be the most interesting predictor we have all year next week, because now you play a team that has competed with some good teams this year. They're not great, obviously. They don't have much of an identity. They're reeling a bit. They're not having the season that they thought they were going to have, right? But they're still a historical good program, which kind of scrambles your brain a little bit. And then the fact that Purdue has beaten them with Hazel in recent memory, that scrambles your brain. And then what happened at Rutgers messes you up, and you're like,
I don't know which
factor do I take as most important right now?
As of this moment, I think I would pick a Purdue loss against Nebraska and a Purdue win against Illinois. I think that's much more likely.
I think if you have to pick, that's the likely scenario. Yes, but Purdue's favored by almost a touchdown over Nebraska.
That's ridiculous. So right now Nebraska ESPN the matchup predictor has it at 60%, and
But correct me if I'm wrong. You do have to score points to win games, correct?
I mean, Jeff Brohm has told me as much.
That helps. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, I have no idea. I am super not confident. I'm glad it's back at Ross Aid.
Let me give you guys a thought.
Why you're glad it's back in Ross Aid? Because nobody comes in there.
Nobody comes into Ross Aid.
That's right.
Nobody comes in.
Nobody wants to come in. That's usually.
That's it. Just nobody comes.
Wait, what did we say last week? Nobody comes into the. I forget.
No, that was the end of the slogan. There was no second half of the slogan.
Let me guys put just another devil's advocate thought in your head. Please. See if there's anything here. See if you guys see that I have any credence at all here. Okay, you guys both. I think you guys were a lot more confident that Purdue would lay an egg at some point, a surprise egg.
Yeah.
You didn't think it'd be Rutgers, but you thought there'd be a game down the stretch that they would drop that they shouldn't, right? Is that fair? I'm not putting words in your mouth, right?
Yes, definitely.
You guys have also told me that you think they would surprise us the other way. So, is it possible that they beat Iowa to bring balance back to the universe and win a couple of these next few games?
Sure.
The reason I say
it's possible is because all things through Jeff Brohm are possible. Wait, what?
Great.
Why did that roll off the tongue so well? Yeah, no, I think that I said this in my post, that you guys can tell me if this is fair or not. I know we're jaded Purdue fans. This coaching staff is the first one in a while that has earned the right to say, hey, they might follow up an egg with we got our shit together, because that was not acceptable, right? I think this coaching staff is great. They come out just as sloppy, flat, and unimaginative, all those things together this week, then I think you can really start to
So an argument that Purdue didn't overlook Rutgers was that the defense didn't. I mean, last week, the one certain thing that we said was we would be stunned if Nick Holt's defense looks past a team. And they didn't look past Rutgers. Nope. They only let them score 14 points. They got two
bad plays.
They got three third down stops, you know, late in the game to give Purdue's offense more chances at a victory. And so I do think that the defense will be here. It really is just does the offense show up, which is crazy because this is Jeff Brohm we're talking about. The tools are just – the cupboard is just so bare. We were looking at the roster and saying, are there any redshirt receivers to burn? Because somebody's got to be able to catch,
I think you've
right?
seen them by now. I think somebody on this roster must be able to catch
just
the ball.
Somebody, anybody.
Bring on a walk-on, for gosh sake.
I don't know. And you know what was crazy was that Friday was one of, if not the, I don't know, like probably in the last 10 years, probably we can extend that to 12 years. Friday, Purdue got a commitment from a four-star local player in George Karloftis, who is very Ryan Kerrigan-y. Yeah. And like, it was one of the best days in Purdue in Purdue football recruiting, like for the past 10, 15 years. And so to follow that up with an egg at Rutgers was just such a blow. It would have been such an easy business trip to take that, come back home, have George Karloftis in the bag, make the 2019 class around this four-star West Lafayette talent who turned down offers from every school on the planet to go to Purdue.
Bama.
I mean, he turned down.
You don't need to have another. You don't have anybody on the list, but Bama. To me, that's incredible.
I didn't even realize that he turned down Bama. I did not realize.
So he turned down Bama, but he would have been one of those, you know, those secondary players for Bama. But still, you get a scholarly offer from Bama's defense, you should go.
He
turned down Bama. He turned down Ohio State. He turned down Michigan. He turned down Notre Dame. He came to Purdue. It should have been one of the better weekends, in recent Purdue memory, in distant Purdue memory. But man, it was.
My wife made us buffalo chicken dip. I mean,
it was a great day. It was a great day.
Not much that was wrong. She made
chili balls out of that dip.
She made chili in the crock pot. See, come on. I mean,
that sounds good.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was just a bummer after Karloftis committed. And, again, it's not one loss does not, end a season. If Purdue ends up with six wins somehow, which I do think, I don't think it's likely now. Yeah. But
where's your percentage right now? This is something we can.
I think like 45. 45, 40, 45, 40 maybe, 40,
45, 40, 40
and a half percent, 42,
Now remember, there's only five games left, so you got to win 60% of your remaining games.
I'm
where you guys. I'm surprised you guys aren't lower than that because
you're right. 40
or lower, 35-40%. I'm very concerned because at this point we'll play the same game. What are your your potential wins are all the same, right? They're all still, but they're toss-ups. Right. There's no gimmies. I mean, Illinois, you guys have made the point. Okay, but Rutgers you had as a gimme as well.
I really do think that this team is kind of destined to host IU at the end of the season with a chance to go to a bowl, and IU just ends it.
That is horrible.
I'm pretty sure that's in the cards right now. Purdue ends up with six wins, the Rutgers loss can be overlooked forever, right? If Purdue wins seven, you're like, dang, we're one Rutgers.
I don't know if it was Jay who made this point.
Yeah.
If they get that sixth win, you'll say, damn it, they would have a much better bowl.
A warm climate bowl.
If they get to six, I don't care.
Exceeded your expectations season if they get to six.
If they get to seven, it's like, wow, we could have had eight. We could have had the division. Like, this was a real thing.
Once you lost to Wisconsin, that went away.
I mean, unless they fall on their face. But
the five is where it burns for me.
Oh gosh,
like if it burn. And I'm pretty sure that's
well. And here's the other thing that I said in my post that I think is worth noting to both of you on the podcast here. This was the first game of the season where Purdue surprised you in a letdown, disappointment way. The only other games they lost were games that you didn't think they were going to win, but you were pleased with the effort and the, you know, how long they stuck with Michigan and how long they stuck with Louisville with a chance to win and how well they frankly held them in the Wisconsin game. That's a team that Wisconsin team is no different than the ones that used to hang 62 on Purdue. So,
yep. Oh, definitely.
That's a hell of an accomplishment. And
right.
And
it's former Rutgers commitment, Jonathan Allen, as a or Jonathan Taylor, I'm sorry. But Nathan Barrett
set me ablaze with that one.
Oof, man, yeah. Friend of the pod, we thought. He just stabbed you in the back with
mean,
that one.
Mean spirit.
Like you get it was a joke, Nathan, right? You get that it was sort of like,
you just love using that gif. Just be or gif as you heathens say it. You just love using that pug looking stunned.
Yeah, it's great. It's such the look, the way he continues to turn and the eyes get wider. It's amazing. It makes me laugh every time.
Friend of the pod, Nathan Baird, we thought. But yeah. Alas.
That was Constantine. When you lose, right? When the good guys win, we all come together and sing Kumbaya.
That's right.
When there's a loss, though, there is dissension in the ranks, and we're all wondering, will Purdue ever win? Why do we all hate each other right now? Man, I need more brown liquor.
That's right. Well, I tend to think that no matter what.
Way, doesn't matter.
Yeah, either way. But that's okay. That's a different discussion for a different day. there are people who went too far with their reactions. Woe is me. Will Purdue win again? Crowd. That's a little much. Like,
you know
what I mean? Like
it brings out those guys who start taking really mean, foul mouth shots at players, you know, which is something that we've always sort of prided ourselves on. Like, you know what? They're wearing your colors, you know, they're representing Purdue partly, largely for you. And so just, you can save that stuff. I mean, you can call out that they didn't play well, but there's no reason to be like, I don't know what the word even is. Fury. By the way, I meant to mention this earlier. One of the other theories, and this is where I thought you were going with this, actually, well, your theory on Herdman, I thought you were going to say that me meeting his mom on the way into
the
stadium was concerned, that maybe that had some effect, like that threw him off.
Shout out to Cole Herdman's mom. Looked like a very good mom. She came out from, you said Maryland. D.C., Maryland.
And Jay, you said she's younger than us, right?
She looked like she probably was, I think maybe a little older than us. Not much.
Man, I guess that's natural. That I don't know why we're surprised it all works out. The math works out.
When Jay Money Jr. is the star shooting guard on the basketball team and when Little Boy Little Dad is as the quarterback,
we'll
be there. You guys will make the drive, I think.
We saw her, right? And she's got an 88 C Herdman jersey on, and we're like, I don't think you can buy jerseys with the players' names on the back of them.
I'm pretty sure
that's got to be your relative.
Yeah, that's great.
So I just thought you related. She says, yeah, and I was like, are you his mom? She's like, yes.
That's cool. That's good. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys were there. I'm glad you were repping all of the BS Nation.
It was a good trip. It was fun. It's a fun trip out there. You got to cross off the Rutgers, you know, the Rutgers Stadium.
When you're seeing the cathedrals of college football, one of the ones you have got to carve out a weekend to go see the birthplace of college football. Although, to be fair, we're being sarcastic right now, but to be fair, Anish and I were sitting there going, this is why Purdue needs to close in the south end of their stadium. Because
it's a nice
place to watch a football game. It actually is.
It was like three quarters of the way full, and it got pretty loud. Like, it got pretty loud. And they have there are two decks at Rutgers on the side. So there's no press box.
In the stands.
That's right.
Oh, wait.
Two big, jerky decks.
All right, keep going.
Good. But it took minimal effort for them to sound loud.
Well, and it just gives it that closed-in feel. It just, yeah, I don't know better words for it than that, but it just doesn't, it doesn't feel like there's an escape.
So closing the end of the stadium gives it that close-in feel.
Shut up.
Thank you for that. Wow, look at the grasp of the English language of this guy. He writes for a living. Sorry.
No, it was bad.
It comes out when we lose again.
That's exactly what happens. People get angry right away. Oh, I've already gotten some people being like, and I love when they direct, we've talked about this before, they directed us as though we had
a say.
Or we have the Wii controller in our hands. They're like, you know, people are getting tired of losing. Oh, all right. Well, let me put in the cheat code and we'll win. Like, yeah. I know they're tired of it. You don't think we're tired of it?
Oh, exactly. This is our free time we're doing right now. This is what we do in our hobbies. We take time out of spending with our families to do this.
Nonsense. I mean, I spent vacation time on this product that you guys.
I'm slaving way over this stuff.
I'm going to my podcast.
I'm going to the Bahamas to watch Purdue basketball for you people. These are the. This is what
Mike
I do.
These are the sacrifices we make. Hey Jay, we're going to talk afterwards off air about what a sacrifice really is. Okay, we'll work on these words.
Chairman of the Board of Trustees Mike Berghoff was very impressed that Jay Money and the Money family were going down to the Bahamas.
That was cool. I told him that.
He was very happy to hear that.
Did you guys tell him you represented BoiledSports.com?
We did not, and as a result, we probably won't tell too much of the conversation. That wouldn't be very cool.
I know I'm picking Nebraska to cover the 6-point spread. And I think I'm picking them to win
Boo.
As well.
Non-believer. Non-believer. So here's the question I have for you, because we probably
are coming to Ross Aid though.
We should probably, and nobody comes into Ross Aid and leaves it live. Club Ross Aid. I don't know if you guys saw that clip with the lights. The victory lights, somebody put them to club music.
No, that's awesome.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. I'll send you that. It's so great. And I said it's like Club RA. So nobody comes in and leaves alive.
Well, they got to win to get the club lights. So let that be the motivator for the players.
Well, and so let me ask you this, though, about this game before we start to wind it down here. I think has Nebraska, like, we pretty much agree, I think Mike Riley's cooked at Nebraska, right? Are they in that stage where they have quit, or is there the potential that we're going to play for coach?
I don't think they've quit yet.
No, I don't either.
I don't think they've quit yet.
Because why would you quit?
And their quarterback is good, decent, Tanner Lee. He's decent. He's stat stuffing because they're behind a lot. And they've got Nebraska talent. You know, I mean, Nebraska is never, bereft of talent. So, I do think that they're capable. And next year when Ken Niumatalolo or Scott Frost is coaching, they're going to be pretty good. But, this is the year to bank on a win.
Well, let me read off to you. Here's why they want to beat Purdue. Because if they want to get to 6 wins, after this they have Northwestern at home, which is winnable. Mm-hmm. They go to Minnesota, which is winnable. But then they go to Penn State and they host Iowa to finish it out. So they really want to beat Purdue, because if you want to get to 6, you kind of need that one.
I don't think
this probably finishes Mike Riley off before the season ends if they get whipped up on it. Purdue.
That's a good point. Whether Purdue wins, Mike Riley still has a job. That's a good question.
Well, it would be his second loss.
Wouldn't it have to be like one of the fans would have to fire him at this point because his boss is gone?
They hired somebody from.
They got a guy. Did they?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they got a guy. So I think it's I don't think it's long for poor Mike, but Oregon State is opening back up, right? Isn't that what happened?
That's right. He can just go back home, and Ken.
I'll bet you that might happen. He's been there twice already.
Yeah, that would be an interesting move.
No way.
There's no way that he goes back to Oregon State?
No way.
I'll bet. I would put it. I'd say it's.
Fool me once. Shame on you, me.
Why wouldn't he go back?
He was good. He was
calling
good.
Right there, now. Mike Riley to Oregon State. Mike Riley to Oregon
calling
State.
It. Calling when it. When Ken gets hired at Nebraska. Yes. We will all pitch in for a nice little crew neck.
Can you imagine if he goes there and they start running the triple option, winning games, and the old
Boiler Dad would drool. Boiler Dad,
the fans will be like,
oh, the option. This is the way football was meant to be played. No passes. One for three through the air every week is fine.
The interesting thing is the Big Ten, right? Think about this. The Big Ten will struggle mightily against that offense because it's almost like a Joe Tiller reversal, right?
Yes.
Nobody knows how to do anything against that offense.
Yeah, 5 years, Urban Meyer running the option. Yeah.
Frost, actually.
Exactly.
SB Nation, really good writer at SB Nation actually wrote a dive into Scott Frost's offense today. Mm-hmm. And he's running some really interesting stuff down at Southern Florida, Central Florida as well.
I just think the more I look at this, I don't know who else's job it is other than Kenny Amatalolo's. It seems like it makes so much more sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Frost or Ken, those are the two. If Nebraska can't get one of them, I don't know.
Wheels up on Nebraska's future head coaching position. We will all write a few of them just like we did for
Purdue. That's right.
We do that for every opening.
It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same list.
Exactly.
It's going to be the same. Spoiler alert.
We wrote one on
him. Try to hire. Hey, you know who? So Jeff Brohm was number one. Do you remember who was number two or like 1B? I can't believe you don't remember.
Brock Speck.
Bo Pelini. Nebraska should look into hiring Bo Pelini.
Oh, God. They didn't like winning nine or ten games a year.
Not their style. They don't like that.
We want to win 12 games a year and the Orange Bowl.
Though he has been quite reprehensible at Youngstown State, and I'm very happy with the Jeff Brohm hire. Either way, I'm very nervous about this Nebraska game. Extremely nervous, even more than I would have been.
But there's still something, because here's the thing. Under Jeff Brohm, you think they could come out. It's going to get crazy. It's going to be under the lights. It's going to, I don't know. I think I'm still excited.
I'm excited. I'm going to watch every Saturday and I'm going to be very excited. I'm going to be at home. I'm going to be at home without underwear on. It's going to be great. Awesome. It's going to be beautiful. Awesome. That's how I watch.
Too many weeks.
I'm going to think about you in a vinyl chair with no underwear on.
You don't have to think about it. I'll send you a picture. Don't worry.
Well, I'll think about it all day long. Oh, you send me pictures? Yeah, excellent. Very good.
Yeah, don't worry about it, man.
Here, I'm going to give you guys one theoretical question or one. Let me see what you guys think about this. Okay, many of us thought aloud on Twitter and other places. When I say us, I just say Purdue fans. Thought, well, the Jeff Brohm off to Tennessee threat is gone with one fell swoop. So there's the silver lining of the Rutgers.
Absolutely.
I don't hate it. It didn't. If it costs the Rutgers game for Purdue to keep Jeff Brohm 3 years, I'll take
an excellent.
Spend. I'll take that in a second. Yes. Now here's the second part. Here's the second part of the question: a motivated Purdue team with some retooled tweaks to the offense shows up to the Nebraska game and they go on an effing run and they win out. Whose list is he on now? I think he's on everybody's list anyway.
We're in trouble. We're praying for a six win.
You want six, maybe seven. You do not want eight. And you really don't want
six.
We don't want any national media around here again. We don't want to see that again.
Well, you can always be exactly. Use this as like a car, like you hold it up like a badge. No. Lost to Rutgers. Nope. Don't want
those guys. Yeah, exactly. Listen,
you don't. He stinks.
Yeah, right. Look at him. Did you watch
that's a nice thing.
Anyway, look elsewhere. Yeah. You guys have to check some upstart offensive coordinator elsewhere. Yeah, exactly. That's right. He was there.
And before the game, Mike Babinski's athletic director, Mike Babinski's pep talk was, "We're not here at Rutgers for any moral victories." Oh, we didn't get any.
Don't worry. Oh, he's like, you got to win these games. It starts with this kind of game. You got to win. He said some amazing stuff.
It was a quick speech,
and he said, "I want the athletic department to live up to the rest of the university." And what said sitting there was, Anish made this point, which I thought was very astute, is that if you bring a Purdue guy in, or if that was Morgan Burke, he'd never say, "Well, we got to improve the athletic department to be as good as the rest." He thought the athletic department was great,
and he brought up the fact that it was hard to get Jeff Brohm because people were telling him not to take the job. And that's what Brohm
really hard. People told him to run away.
Yep. And that's what made Brom want to take it more. And if we hired a Purdue guy, there's no way that the Purdue guy would have said that, that the Purdue athletic department, athletic director would have said that. But Pavinsky's not a Purdue guy. He's just a guy that's really good at his job. So it was very good. I made fun of him a little bit, but it was very good. It was a very good speech. We enjoy your work, Mike Pavinsky.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, this has been a great show. I've really enjoyed it. But I'll be honest though, I've been a little distracted during the show. At times, I've perused different websites on the internet, and one of them, of course, like I just can't get off of is martinvintage.com.
What a lovely website! What a lovely website! I wore it for my
man. You got some amazing t-shirts.
I wore my shirt for the drive home. It was very comfortable. I was still showing pride, even after the loss with my martinvintage.com shirt. What if I wanted to get a t-shirt and didn't want to pay full price, Dowd? What would I do?
I know this. What you can do is you can enter boiled at checkout, and you'll get 20% off.
20%
off. That's like 20% of the plays that Purdue offense took off this last set.
Like Elijah Sindelar's completion percentage.
Or his QBR.
Man, jerks.
The stats you don't want to look at.
The amount of catches divided by targets for the wide receivers. 20%. We're fine. It'll be fine.
Elijah's in the large QBR was 14.1.
It was more. It was more than the QBR of Elijah Sindel. That's
Blouse was 26.8. So you're basically getting the average Purdue QBR for the past week. Getting that.
MartinVintage.com and are boiled at checkout. That's right.
There we go. Man, great job, guys. This was the Boiled Sports.
Beat us all the time. Oh, did I step on your line? Did I go over?
I was not trying to set anything up.
Give me the
cue. Record.
Give me the cue. So I say it as someone give me the line. Someone's line.
We'll do it live.
I don't remember it. I would love to give it to you, but I can't.
Love to give it to me.
I'd love to give it to you. Yeah, I dream about giving it to you.
Talking about sex.
BS all the time.